Message. Reason I did that is we're doing something different today. This will be our first week broadcasting live over our internet site. And I certainly appreciate the church paying for the server and the ability to do that. We've been using Justin TV and it has numerous problems, and the main reason I wanted to do it was Brother Jerry Lockhart does it, and I didn't want him ahead of us. So, I didn't want Jerry having anything better than what we got. Just kidding. They have had it for some time, and it's a great system. They use the same stream hoster that we're using. And so now, if you want to watch live, you can simply go to our website. And as soon as you sign on the website, there's a black screen there. And if the message is already started, it'll be up there automatically. If you tune in before the message starts, you have to hit refresh. Keep hitting that until the video comes up. So, whereas we've been on Justin TV starting at 11:15 every Sunday morning, we've been having a good attendance on the internet from that. We'll be on the website now. And also, all the messages will be archived on the website so that you can go on there and listen to them anytime, either audio or video. And that'll be a benefit because we've got more than one group that are using our videos for their home Bible studies. And so now they will be able to have access to those. And also, we'll be doing the same thing for the Kentucky Bible study. So all the Kentucky Bible studies will be out on the internet as well in video format. So very thankful for all this technology, and as much bad as there is on the internet, we're certainly glad to be able to use it for something positive and good. And we've had people that have been saved as a result of that ministry. And we just praise the Lord for it. All right. If you would this morning, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we spoke the last couple of weeks before the last Sunday. We spoke about some things in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 about the Spirit and being spiritual and so forth. And I mentioned to you that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in the first part of chapter 3, you have three types of individuals mentioned there. You have those that are the natural man. That would be the individual that's lost. You have what Paul calls those that are spiritual, verse 15, he that is spiritual. That would be those that are saved. And then in chapter 3, you have those that are saved that are living like those that are lost. And Paul calls those people carnal. He says in chapter 3, verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Well, that would be like the natural man. In other words, you're walking as natural men. And the problem there was the carnality, in this particular instance, didn't have anything to do with, you know, the things that people generally associate with carnality. It had to do with the fact that there were divisions among them. And those divisions were a result of following individuals rather than following and adhering to the message. You see, the Apostle Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, when he gets down there in verse 4, he says, "For one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos. Are ye not carnal?" Well, then he didn't want them saying, "I am of Paul," or "I'm of Apollos," and yet in the very next chapter, notice what he says in verse 16 of chapter 4, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Almost sounds contradictory, doesn't it? On the one hand, he says, one saith, "I'm of Paul," and another, "I'm of Apollos. Are ye not carnal?" And then over in the next chapter, he says, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 1, he says, "Be ye followers of me," and he qualifies how you're to follow him. He says, "Even as I also am of Christ." So what Paul is addressing, no doubt, back in chapter 3, is not... In other words, Paul desired for people to follow the doctrine given unto him. And he said, follow me even as I am of Christ. Paul never followed Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. Paul was against Jesus Christ. Paul was having people killed after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And until the Lord appeared unto him, he didn't know that Jesus Christ was the Lord. So he says, back in chapter 3, that there are divisions, and no doubt these divisions had to do with following men after the flesh. Now, there are multitudes of divisions today. And I know that most of the time, you know, we like to look at other people and point the finger and so forth. But come on, there's plenty of divisions among those that rightly divide the word and talk about grace and so forth. And so many times, those things come about as a result of following the man. And I want you to understand that that should not be the case. Now, follow the doctrine. If a man preaches sound doctrine, then adhere to the doctrine. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. There's nothing wrong with following the doctrine that a man preaches, as long as it's sound doctrine, but don't follow individuals after their flesh, and don't believe something simply because it was spoken by somebody you like or your favorite preacher or whatever. Always try everything by the Word of God. If I teach something that you disagree with, feel free to always let me know. You have a right to be wrong. No, I'm just kidding. I'm serious, folks. Listen, if you want to discuss something about the Scriptures with me, I hope you'll do that. I have taught things and weeks later realized that I taught them wrong. I don't intentionally do that. But the point is don't ever base what you believe on what somebody else believes simply because of who the person is. Base it on the Word of God. Now, Paul mentions two or three things here that come about as a result of these divisions. Notice what he said there in verse 4. He says, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? Now, apparently, Apollos and Paul... Now, see, this is where you can understand what the divisions come about, what the division he's addressing here is. Apparently, Apollos and Paul were involved in the same ministry. Why do I say that? Because he says there in verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered. Well, then, they must be teaching the same thing, so the division must have been over loyalty to the individuals, Paul and Apollos. And so Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but notice the next statement, which is of most importance, but God gave the increase. Listen, folks, when I stand up here at times and talk about people getting saved through the ministry and that kind of thing, that has nothing to do with me. If anybody gets saved, it is the power of God's Word that brings about the salvation. And it wouldn't matter whether I was preaching it, or Brother Jan was preaching it, or Mark was preaching it, or Brother Doug was preaching it, or Jerry Jones was preaching it, or Vince was preaching it. The fact is, when the Word of God goes forth, the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. And the preacher is not the issue. It is the message that's important. And so Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but listen, don't ever forget, God gave the increase. Everybody that ever got saved because the Lord Jesus Christ died for them at Calvary, and God saved them by His power. And you know what? That should be of great comfort to you. Because it is not according to your ability that people get saved. It's according to your availability. Opening your mouth and making known the truth of the Scriptures. We had a situation happen this last week, and I'll share this because Jeremy's not here, so he wouldn't be embarrassed. But Jeremy Taylor, Carol's, I guess she's back in the nursery, his wife. Jeremy came over to the house we're working on Monday to check out the electrical wiring and so forth. He's an electrician. And so while we were there, it was pretty early in the morning, and so we were upstairs, and we'd been down the basement and left the garage door open. We heard a lady call out and say, "Is anybody home?" And so I didn't have any idea who it was, so we started back down the stairs, and this woman came walking upstairs, had on her bathrobe and pajamas and slippers. And I thought, uh-oh, somebody's got out. And so she said, are y'all moving in here? And I said, well, we're remodeling this house. It's rental property. And she said, well, I live just two doors down. So then I felt like, you know, we were pretty solid ground there. She's just inquisitive. And so she said, do y'all do this for a living? I said, I hope not. But I'll starve to death. But she said, well, what do you do? I said, well, I'm retired from Blue Cross, but I also pastor church. Well, as soon as the word pastor came out of my mouth, she started on this rant about the Catholic Church not allowing her to take communion and so forth. And she said, what do you think about that? And Jamie looked at her and he said, you probably don't want to know. And so I told her what I thought about communion and about water baptism and about salvation by grace. And so I talked to her a few minutes, and Jamie began to talk to her and witness to her. And so I had told Connor I'd pick him up a certain time. We were going to Lowe's and on Gun Barrel Road. So I told Jamie, I said, Jamie, I'm sorry, I got to go take care of this. And so I left, picked up Connor, drove all the way over to Hamilton Place. Went in there and shopped for about 30 minutes, and I needed to call back over to the house. And by then, Will was over there with Mary and some others, and I needed some measurements. And so I called, and I'd been gone about 45 minutes. And so whenever I heard in the background, I said, Will, is Jamie still there? He said, yeah, he's still talking to that woman. And so when I got back, I noticed there was a Bible laying there on the stairs. And Mary said that Jamie had witnessed to that woman for an hour straight. And he, you know, when I was there, Jamie said, now I don't know all the scriptures like Steve does. But what Jamie found out was he knew a lot more scripture than he thought he did. Because when he got that Bible, he started turning to him. And the response of the kids was, man, that guy ought to be a preacher. You know what I'm telling all that for, folks? It's because you have the opportunity to open your mouth and make known the truth of the gospel and tell people what you know. You don't have to try to impress them. You see, that woman, everything she wanted to talk about was keeping the law, and Jamie just kept going right back. But we're no good. We need a Savior. Christ paid for all of our sins. Over and over the same thing. I said, well, what did she say when she left? She said she needed somebody to walk her home. The point in all that, folks, is that if anybody gets saved, it's not by the individual. It's not by our power or our ability. And we need to keep that in mind and never let divisions arise over individuals. Notice what he says there in verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And notice now, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Paul is trying to drive home the fact to these folks at Corinth, the importance of who they are in Christ and what they have as a ministry. He said, you are God's husbandry. You are God's building. We are laborers together with God. You remember Paul wrote to the Corinthians later on, and he said, that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? He said that the temple, that the Spirit of God indwells you. You are the building of God. This church is not the building of God. I hear people every Sunday morning talk about going into the house of God. This is not the house of God. When you left home this morning to head down here to Grace Bible Church, you brought the house of God with you. That's your temple. That's your body. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that you are God's building. And you know, a lot of churches get involved in a building program. Well, you're in a building program. You know what you're trying to build up? The body of Christ. And that body of Christ is built up by sound doctrine and sound preaching. And he says there that it doesn't make any difference who plants or waters. Everyone's going to receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, what Paul is getting into here and what we're going to look at is the reward that is associated with faithfulness. And there's people today that say, well, there's not any reward, and it's an egotistical thing to try to even think about rewards. Well, the Bible says there's a reward. The Bible says right here, we are laborers together, and he said, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, not somebody else's labor, but his own labor. And so that indicates that there's some work to be done. Hold on here and look over in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, look back in chapter 1 before we read over there in chapter 2 and look in verse 3. Ephesians 1, 3. Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Well, then he chose us, he predestinated that we be adopted into the family of God, and that has to do with all the church, the body of Christ. But notice over in chapter 2, in verse 8, he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, notice now, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath foreordained that we should walk in them. You know, the foreordaining always generally is associated with salvation and those that will be saved and so forth. But listen, for those that are saved, by the way, every time predestination is mentioned in the Bible, it's mentioned in relation to the body of Christ, not individuals. God predestinated, he predetermined that every individual that would trust Jesus Christ their Savior would be adopted into his family and be part of it. He also foreordained not only that those that would trust him would be saved by believing the gospel, but he foreordained, according to what the Bible says here, some works that we should walk in. Well then, how do we know what works that we need to walk in? You read the Word of God. You see, a lot of times it's easy to get involved in activity, 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 but activity is not always scriptural. Activity is not always what it's about. Our labor, our work, our ministry has to be centered around the Word of God. Hold on, look back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Well, there's the ministry. We've received this ministry, and that ministry has to do with testifying the gospel of the grace of God, this new ministration. He talks back in chapter 3. Verse 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I believe at the judgment seat of Christ that the main issue is going to be obedience to the word of God. We have this ministry. There's some works that we were foreordained to do. And those foreordained works have nothing to do with building buildings and having success in what people call the ministry. It has to do with making known the truth of the gospel so that people might be saved and giving people the truth that they might be established in the truth for this present age. Amen. If you look back there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, again, notice verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Well, I've worked with a lot of people. But I'll tell you something. You couldn't work with anybody better than God. We're laborers together with God. You see, it's God's doing the work through us. We're laboring with Him. Wow, we're God's husband. We're God's building. Now notice what Paul says there in verse 10. He says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I don't go spend much time looking at the Greek and so forth, but that word master builder, the root word is architect. It has to do with a beginning of something. Well, that's interesting when Paul says over in 1 Timothy chapter 1 that in me first he might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them who should have to believe. It's interesting that Paul is using building terms here. He's the wise master builder. He's the chief architect, if you will. And he says, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now I want you to stop and think about something. If the church started in Acts chapter 2, as most people say it did, what foundation were those apostles building upon? If Paul said he laid the foundation. Well, they were building upon the foundation. As a matter of fact, verse 11 says, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Well, Peter, James, and John preached Jesus Christ. They preached His death, burial, and resurrection, and they preached the cross as a murder indictment to the nation Israel. But you know what? They never preached what the apostle Paul preached. They preached what God gave them to preach, the gospel of the kingdom. It included Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. You see, it's not just preaching Jesus Christ, it's preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Paul said some things about Christ that were never revealed prior to them being revealed to him. Peter, James, and John, they were all preaching exactly what God told them to preach. They were doing exactly what God told them to do. And over there in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was stoned to death, somewhere around that time, Israel lost the opportunity of national salvation. They had rejected the prophets in the Old Testament. They rejected Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And they rejected God the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And God would have been just, and He would have been prophetically correct, according to His timetable in the Old Testament, to rain His wrath down upon the earth in the 70th week of Daniel, beginning there in the book of Acts. But instead of the wrath, He saved Paul in Acts chapter 9, and Paul became the apostle of grace, and thus every book he writes starts with grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for grace, folks. Thank God we're living in the dispensation of the grace of God. And it's by grace that we're saved through faith, and it's trusting in Him and Him alone. Now, you see, it's not just preaching Jesus Christ, it's what is said about Jesus Christ is the foundation. And Paul laid that foundation. He said in verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. In other words, you got to do it according to the blueprint. You got to do it according to the instructions. And I don't even want to get into about instructions, because I'll tell you, some of us aren't good about reading them. A couple of times in the past couple of weeks, I've had things I was putting together, and had I read the instructions, I would have avoided some problems. I finally did read them. Too late. Well, you know what? I say that facetiously, but that's the way we go about the ministry many times. We're going to do it our way. We're going to do it the way we think is right. Well, the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end there is the way of death. God has a prescribed method, a prescribed ministry for us to perform. And you can't perform the ministry that God wants you to perform today by teaching people that they're under the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can't perform the ministry that God has for us today by teaching people that they are Israel. You can't perform the ministry that God has for you today by teaching people that God is done with Israel and that there is no rapture and there is, and all of Revelation was fulfilled. I mean, the false doctrine just on and on and on and on. Listen, folks, you can only do the work of the ministry appropriately and correctly according to the blueprint and the instructions that God has laid down. The last thing Paul said to Timothy was, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now, there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, so first of all, you got to have the foundation. You got to have a good foundation. The foundation is that which Paul laid, the truth of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. So there's different categories of building upon this foundation. And he says in verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. So our work is made manifest. Now I know people get this confused because they equate work and sin as being the same. Your sins were all forgiven at Calvary. They were paid for at Calvary. What you do from the time you are saved until the day you die is your work. It has nothing to do with sin. As a matter of fact, if sin was the issue, you wouldn't even be there at this judgment, because only saved people are there. People are not there being judged to determine whether they're going to go to heaven or not. As a matter of fact, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we read this a couple of weeks ago, verse 5, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So the sin is taken care of. The sin is paid for. Your sins under the blood of Jesus Christ have nothing to do with your salvation whatsoever. But your work is going to be made manifest. And Paul equates the work with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Now, notice what he says, verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest. That is, it'll be shown for what it is. For the day, that day of the Lord Jesus, I just read about in 1 Corinthians 5:5, shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Notice it's not the amount of it, it's the sort of it. What sort it is. You know, when you sort something, you got a pile of change, and you sort that change, you put all the quarters and all the nickels and all the dimes and all the pennies together. And you distinguish between those. Well, then there must be some sorting of the work. Well, he just told us up there that it's going to be manifest. And he said, when you're building upon this foundation, you're either building gold and silver and precious stone, and or wood, hay, and stubble. Now, to me, the picture is pretty clear there. Because I think everybody here knows what happens when you put wood, hay, and stubble in fire. It burns up. It becomes ashes. But when you put gold and silver and precious stones through the fire, generally speaking, they come out purer on the other side than they were when they went in. The fire destroys the bad part of it. There's a purification process. And so Paul says in verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Just that simple. Now, I want to ask you something. If you've got gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, and you put it all in the fire, he says, if any man's work abide, well, what's going to abide? The gold and silver and precious stones on that's going to abide, folks. You see, the work is tried of what sort it is. And most of the time, when you preach about these kind of things, people get the idea of, you know, I've heard people say, well, the preacher's going to get all the rewards, because people say, listen, when you have part in a ministry and you are dedicated to what you can do for that ministry, what you do is every bit as important as what the man that stands behind the pulpit does. I used to use the illustration all the time about Pineview Bible Camp years ago. We'd go down there, and it started out, it was 3 weeks in July. There was a children's camp, teen camp, and then a family camp. And for 3 weeks, they would feed those people every day. Leon Russell, he and Brother Moore started that camp years ago. And then the time I started going, it was just about a 10-day camp. But it was always around the 4th of July in South Alabama with no air conditioning. And those ladies, they're getting in a kitchen, and I'm not talking about fixing hot dogs and hamburgers. I'm talking about fixing fried okra and corn and green beans and fried chicken and pork chops. And those ladies would just sit, they'd be in there laboring and working. And you know what? The preachers get up at night and preach for about 45 minutes, and everybody's coming up and patting them on the back and telling them what a great job they did. Let me tell you something, folks. The work of the ministry there was those people that put that camp on. And there were a number of people that were saved through that camp. And you know what? Every person that ever contributed a dollar to that camp, ever contributed any work to that camp, or ever even went there as an individual and participated in that camp, was part of the ministry of that camp. And they're going to receive a reward for that. That's what it's all about, folks. It's about the work of the ministry. Did you ever notice it's called the work of the ministry? There's some work involved in ministering. And what you can do, listen, everybody can do something. Now, I know that we're all, you know, our congregation primarily is an aging congregation. That's the way to put it nicely. That's better than saying we're a bunch of old coots. But we are an aging. But, you know, everybody can do something. I mean, the needs are met here. The fact that we have the outreach ministry we have is because people are willing to give graciously and generously. The reason that we have a place to meet and a place that's comfortable and so forth. And there's nothing wrong with that. We don't worship this building. But we have it. We ought to keep it up. You're part of the ministry. Every dollar that's given, every prayer that's said, every work that's done is part of the ministry. It's what sort it is. And when people get saved through this ministry, it's no more, I'm no more important than that than anybody else. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things in the last few minutes here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Then there is an incorruptible crown. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I know sometimes, you know, when people get offended by preaching about these kind of things, it's because they see it as glorying in it, want some self-glory for themselves. Listen, any reward that we might receive, I guarantee you, is going to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about us. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. So there's a crown associated with this reward. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? When is this judgment going to take place? At his coming, the day of the Lord. We read about over 1 Corinthians 5. Well, just look at the verse there. Let me ask you, what is the crown of rejoicing? It's the Thessalonians. He said, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? It's people, folks. It's people that have heard the word preached and received the word. Paul said, are not even ye, what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 13, for we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge, and I trust you shall acknowledge even to the end. As also you have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. Well, then there must be something that has to do with these people in the day of judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. Look in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Well, every time that Paul mentions the joy and the crown, in that context, it's about people that were ministered to that have believed the truth. Now, you can't dictate whether people believe or not. You can't force people to believe. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can't force people to believe. But you can tell them the truth. You can preach the gospel to them. Say, well, I've done that and I've never seen any results. Don't be so sure. Remember what Paul said? One watered, or one planted, another watered, but God gave the increase. When you plant a garden, you go out there and you do a work. You have to till the ground up. You have to rake it down and get it smooth. You have to line the rows up where you put the seeds in. And then you put the seeds in the ground, you cover them up. And then you got to put some water on them. And until they sprout, you need to keep them watered regularly. Some people call that fun. But let me tell you something. Once that seed is in the ground and once you water it, you have no power over making it sprout. I mean, you stand out there and you can say, come on, seed. Come on, you need. I'm pulling for you. Come on, I want you to. You don't have any power over that. There's a natural process that takes place. Listen, folks, you can plant another waters, but you have no power to bring about the result. God does that, and He does it according to His will and His purpose, and you are the instrument. We are the instruments, and therefore we have this ministry, and we're to faint not. And it's a glorious ministry. It's not something we should ever look at as a burden. We should look at it as a blessing and a gift. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we've received mercy, we faint not. We don't do it for the reward, but the reward will certainly be there, and it comes about as a result of people. Everything that's done in the ministry needs to be done for people. Not for self-gratification, not for, and I'm not talking about done for people, the ones doing it. I'm talking about doing for to reach people that are without the gospel, without truth. And you meet people every day that way. Paul said, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereupon. But take heed how you build upon that foundation. Build upon it according to the word of God, rightly divided. And the truth given to us through our apostle, the Apostle Paul. Listen, if you've never been saved, Jesus Christ, right now you're in a place where Jesus Christ has been preached. And the good news for you is that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He paid for every one of them at Calvary. As I said earlier, this judgment seat of Christ, this reward system and so forth, has nothing to do with salvation. You're either saved or lost. On the basis of what you're trusting in right now. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, right this moment you can trust Him. And He'll save you. Joking a minute ago about the walk of the aisle. You don't have to walk any aisles. There's no benefit in that. Jesus Christ died for your sins. And whether you're here in this auditorium or watching over the internet, you can trust Him as your Savior. And then you can get about the work of the ministry that He's called all of us into. Would you stand me for prayer? Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the instruction of it, for the clarity of it, for the simplicity of it. And Lord, we thank You that one day there was a man who preached this truth to me. I thank You that there are men through the years that have preached and stood for the truth of the gospel and continue to do so today. And I pray that every one of us would do what we do, not to bring glory to ourselves. And Lord, help each one of us to realize that our part in the ministry is simply that. It is what You have given us the ability to do and the resources to do. It's not just in teaching. It's not just in standing up in a pulpit. But it's in all the support work of the ministry. And Father, I thank You this morning for fellow laborers in the work. And I pray that You'd help us to be faithful to do the work that You call us to reach out that people might hear the truth and be established and that people might be saved for Christ's sake. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Thank me here today. We're dismissed.